And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
I got some furniture that's heavy on the fur. I got some pillows that occasionally purr. I got a fluffy mop that never ever cleans. I got a roommate self-proclaiming royalty, cause I got cats, cat, cat, cat. I got cats, cat, cat, cat. All these little felines rolling on their back.
Welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Tuesday, March 22nd. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory. Alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
That song there might be the one reason I get a cat. You can get a cat and sing that. It's pretty fun.
That was actually was a banger.
Bars.
We got our Top Shot Hot Boy. He's got a cat. That's Trey Kirby.
Meow. Meow.
International Man of Mystery. Taking it to the cats. Lee Ellis.
Friends.
What have you done, JD, with these cold opens? Making the magic happen. Super producer, JD.
Hello.
There he is. And here we are, already in a good mood. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Like, subscribe, comment, share the show. Email in your NBA questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. There are only four games on tonight, so we could very likely be hitting the beach on tomorrow's pod. Mm-hmm. So get your NBA and non-NBA questions in. You can email them in there to nodunks@theathletic.com. And later today, TK and Double G, Graydon Gordian, are back, baby, with a brand new episode of No Breaks. Now, here's what's going on with this. No Breaks has its own YouTube feed. That is official. We got that fired up last night. So please, if you're an F1 fan, if you want to just hang out with TK and Graydon Gordian later today around 1 p.m. Eastern, well, hit the No Breaks YouTube feed. It's in the comments section below this vid, and you can subscribe there. We're working on the podcast feed, too, but it will eventually have its own podcast feed. Apple's taking their sweet-ass time approving your boys.
And weren't we one of the featured things on that thing they did
I don't
that time,
know.
You know?
Come on, no dunks, yeah. No buffs, no breaks. It's an umbrella of content. Anyway.
Yes.
No Breaks later today. So you'll be talking about, obviously, the first race of the season and looking ahead, I assume.
Yeah, I'm going to change my shirt, no doubt, for this one. I can't wear a Red Bulls shirt. Well, doesn't even make sense after the way things went down there in Bahrain. Lots to talk about, Skeetsy. Tried to get two different guests, but they were both busy at the same time, so ain't going to happen today.
Having their own pod, maybe, were they? Or
No. They were having their own plans, whatever they may be.
Well, hold on. You don't need to change red. Ferrari did great.
Oh, Ferrari did great. Maybe Graydon will bring like a piece of tape and I can put it over like a jersey, you know, yeah, like when a player switches teams. Ferrari, that would be dorky but cool.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah. Okay, so no breaks. That's later today. Let's get into last night's games, though. Some really entertaining games, some interesting endings. Let's start, though, with Tyrese Maxey leading the shorthanded 76ers. Yeah, no Embiid, no Harden, over the East-leading Miami Heat. And, oh boy, Lee, it is. It's cluttered at the top of the East.
It sure is. The second night of a back-to-back, Miami Heat went in as eight-point favorites in this game, understandably so. You know, they were rested. They had their full squad. And you thought, you know what, Philly might compete, but at some point, Big Brother syndrome will almost take over here, where a team that executes as well and is as disciplined as Miami is, they're just going to, like, take this game away from Philadelphia. But it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And when you look at, when you watch a team like Philadelphia last night without both stars, I think that takes off a level of pressure from the other guys where they're like, we don't, aren't going to have to default back to Harden or Embiid at some point in this game. It's kind of up to us to now do it collectively together. And that's what I really think. That ball was really moving around with energy last night. And then when it came to winning time, Tyrese Maxey was incredible. And the target, the guy who had a big bullseye on his back, was Tyler Hero.
He sure did.
For the Miami Heat.
Yep.
They tried to get him in every single action there with Tyrese Maxey. And Tyrese took full advantage. He hit some sidestep threes. But they basically just said, you're the weak link, Tyler Hero, and we're going at you. And it worked. And it was incredible because, again, I felt there was a couple of plays there. Tyler Hero on the offensive end threw some lobs to Bam with DeAndre Jordan out there. It was kind of like, okay, we're going at DeAndre Jordan. But at the other end, the Philadelphia 76 was like, you're the guy we're targeting. And they did. And Tyrese just took over, hit those big threes, finishes with 28 points, only played 28 minutes too. So I thought that was just really well played there by Doc. And I just thought this team last night, as I mentioned earlier, were like, guys, it's a collective group tonight. We're going to have to do it. No one's coming in where sometimes that offense, you know, it's not unusual with the James Harden team, looks a bit stagnant at times and a bit predictable, where it's like, it's either pound, 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 or you're just going to go to Embiid, which is a smart strategy when you've got MVP-type players out there. But last night, that wasn't the case, and I thought they got good production. George Niang came in. You know, he's a guy I've been critical of in the past. He gave them some good production there. And then Korkmaz off the bench as well, back into the rotation somewhat, hit some threes there. This is a really impressive win by Philadelphia. For Miami, I'm going to give them a pass, although last week against Detroit at home, they got the win a little bit the same, where they didn't crush the team where they should. So that they will still likely finish number one in the East, but maybe not totally convincing. I think there is perhaps some vulnerability there for that Miami Heat team.
Yeah, and Maxey took over, as Lee said, down the final 3 minutes of this game. Was like him driving, little kiss high off the glass. He hit that huge sidestep three on Hero, hit another bomb. Then he had the block at the end to seal it. He had that place going bonkers, cheering Maxey instead of MVP for him.
It was wonderful. And yeah, they got a full squad appearance, as Lee was talking about. And I saw Sixers fans after the game saying, oh, that's how we got to play. We got to get something out of everybody. But if that was the case, you wouldn't have had to trade for James Harden. If Furkan Korkmaz and Shake Milton were going to score 20 points, you know, average 20 points off the bench like they did in this game, then you wouldn't have had to trade for James Harden. This is not sustainable, getting Korkmaz and Shake Milton. Maxey has been great, but the Niangs, you just can't get that kind of production out of guys. So that's what you are. You are a James Harden team. You're a James Harden-led team, which stalls at times. Like Lee said, it is a dribble fest. But the hope is that James Harden is a little bit better than what he has been since he's come over. It was a honeymoon for the first few games, but he has not been peak James Harden. And so a great team win and all that, for sure, after losing to the Raps on Sunday night. You got to feel good. But James Harden has to come out and be better when he comes back. And on the other side, the Heat's, a little bit worrisome in the fourth quarter where Jimmy Butler doesn't score a point. But when all is said and done, yeah, they had three guys score 20-plus, and Hero, Lowry, and Bam Adebayo. And the problem was Hero, he was isolated on the defensive end. I think they sort of make up for that because they're such a good defensive team. But this is a real ensemble team when it comes to the offensive end. Like, they did a good job of making it hard on Hero to score. He was 5 of 15. And then they just didn't get enough production from P.J. Tucker, who scored 2 points, and Duncan Robinson, who had 6 points. Sometimes I worry about Jimmy Butler just because, you know, sometimes he just barely gets over the rim. I just don't know how great he's going to look here in his 30s, but they seem like you could just rely on Lowry. You can rely on Hero. You can rely on Bam. But when they're not all, in cohesion, when they're not that ensemble, then they don't get wins. And that was a strange part. Gabe Vincent was also out at this game. I think that was a part of it. But yeah, the Heat are just one of those teams that they can't rely on one guy. So that's the thing for me. You just have to be able to perform in the fourth quarter, you know, 1 through 10. It's a little Suns-like at times.
Yeah, I wonder what the stats are. I can't imagine that the Heat have lost too many games when Jimmy and Bam and Kyle Lowry all score over 20 points, which they did last night. Yep. I mean, this has been a great defensive team. We just saw how good the 76ers zone was against Luka Doncic. So I don't know, but it's got to be concerning that Hero's going to have to play. He's an X factor for the Miami Heat in the fourth quarter. Outside of Butler, he's the guy who gets to the rim the most. So he's definitely going to be out there. You need his shooting as well. But we just saw the Heat zone completely destroyed by Tyrese Maxey, a guy in his second year, Korkmaz, and Shake Milton. They were just going at Tyler Hero every single time down, and it wasn't even much of a play. Sometimes they would run like a screen and roll up top to get the ISO on Hero. Sometimes it was just, Hero's up here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go right by him and then get some sort of rotation there inside. So, yeah, I mean, that kind of like, I would be just nervous if I'm Miami, because the Heat zone is generally pretty good. But this did not look good. And Hero can't be that big of a target because he has to play for them to be at their absolute best.
Yeah, he's an ultimate wild card, actually, I think. When you look at just like the Eastern Conference landscape, Tyler Hero is, and how far Miami can go. But I'm 100% with you. He has to play. He's going to play because he can give you 25, 30 points.
Yeah.
You know, in 3 out of 4 or 3 out of 7, I should say, you know, playoff games in a series, easily he could do that. But if they're going to expose him and really go at him on the other end, that's definitely something to keep
small.
Your eye on.
He looks small. I thought he looked tiny. He was getting like thrown around by Korkmaz, by Shake Milton, guys who have had very disappointing seasons. I mean, Milton and Korkmaz last year, you know, they were kind of talked about as saviors for the 76ers. Last night, you were just happy to see them have a good game, but it came at the expense of Hero, and he just looked like a rookie. He looked like a rookie out there who had never been in the weight room yet. It was weird to see.
As for Maxey, I think I saw Tim Legler saying this for ESPN after they lost to the Raptors there, where they were like brutal in their fourth quarter. And again, the offense, and a lot of it was the Raptors defense, don't get me wrong, in that game, but it was like just predictable, like you said. It's, you know where it's going. It's Harden or Embiid, and it's like the ball movement sort of dries up, and Doc is not all that creative. And he was saying, Legs was like, yeah, Maxey just needs to be involved more. He needs to get touches and be aggressive. And, you know, he's a young guy, so I'm sure at some point, like, you defer to the MVPs that are also on your team, you know, or the MVP candidates in Embiid's case right now. So it's like, but that can't be it. You see it. Just, you know, they need to, like, fold him in. When we're talking, like, fourth quarter basketball, he has to be sort of the wild card. And, yeah, he's not going to go for 28. He's not going to have, like, a 9-point, like, scoring run, you know, of his own every game. But, like, he still should be getting touches. Absolutely. And will they be able to figure that out here with only 10 games to go? The balance between Embiid, Harden, and then these other guys like Maxey.
Yeah, well, the good thing is he's a slasher. He loves to get inside of the rim, but he's also shooting 40%, over 40% from three. So he has got some adaptability to his game. And we saw when Harden first came over, he actually really thrived. We wondered if maybe his numbers would drop back. So he does give them that other option. Mm-hmm. It's just convincing mainly Harden. It's like, you know, you've got to keep that guy going the whole time. So it's a work in progress, but I think you've seen Maxey really understands. He doesn't expect to be the guy like he was last night. He knows that's not going to be the case when the other two guys are back there, but he really can fill in some really solid minutes for them and provide that energy. And again, both ends. I love that block.
Oh, it's huge.
Oh, my God. Like, because he kind of lost the ball there.
Yeah.
And was it Strus? I think it was
Martin.
Was Martin, was it? Yeah. And he got that really well. So that was great. I mean, he's up to 18 points a game for the season, Maxey. Like, this is not just a little spurt he's on. Mm-hmm. He's been really good for them.
Embiid going bonkers, too.
Oh, yeah.
When he was on that score and run there and even the block, that was fun to see. And like I said, the crowd loving him. And he's got one of the best smiles in the league.
Oh, yeah.
Tyrese Maxey.
Yeah.
He was calling for it last night, too. He was feeling it. So, yeah, big win there from the Sixers. And, you know, you said the Heat will probably keep the number one seed in the East. Yes. They got still like this heavy
2.5,
home court, you know, schedule the rest of the way here. But it's 2.5. And there's like Philly. There's Milwaukee. There's Boston. You know, we'll touch on them getting another win last night. Like, it's, you know, one bad week and one good week from one of the other teams, and suddenly you are out of first.
Yeah, they are, I'm pretty sure, the best team in the East at home, though. So that home-heavy schedule could certainly tilt in their favor. And you also expect, you know, when it's 2.5, 3 games, a little bit closer to the end of the season, then one or two of these other teams might just say, you know what, we're not going to track them down. Let's just rest our guys as well. Perhaps.
All right. Another game, DeRozan, Zach LaVine, propel the Bulls to the 113-99 victory over the Toronto Raptors. He's got his Bulls red on.
You know.
Have
you
a
know.
Go at it. Yeah, dominant second half performance. For
yeah,
sure.
Pinch me because it feels like November again. Big playoff seeding game last night in the No Dunks Bowl. It was honestly a must-win game for the Bulls, and they played probably their best game in weeks. Like you said, Skeets, this one was close for a half. Bulls and Raps were trading little runs in the first half of this game. I thought Siakam looked like the best player on the court in the first half. Mm-hmm. He had 16 points. He was scoring in delayed transition. Just a lot of tricky drives to the hoop. Fred VanVleet had 10 and 7 in the first half. A little concerning, though, because he was 3 of 10 shooting from the field, and his first two makes were on the first two shots of the game. Meanwhile, Zach LaVine in the first half, I was getting very angry at this guy. He was passing up every open shot. I'm like, come on, buddy. Shoot a three. The Bulls don't shoot very many threes. You're right. One of the guys out there who can. But in the second half, the BAB Bulls, they were actually back for once. 21-8 run for Chicago starting mid-third quarter. The Bulls forced five turnovers in that third quarter. They finally looked like the athletic team from earlier in the season. The Raps, meanwhile, went cold. Didn't score for 6 minutes, and Zach LaVine finally started taking some shots. He had 16 points in the third. Raptors just looked a little bit gassed there in the third and the fourth quarter. Siakam finished 1 of 3 in the second half. VanVleet went 4 of 12 and was just leaving everything short in the third and fourth quarters. Bulls kept Toronto at bay, stretched things out to 21 points, and that's really all she wrote. DeVine. I like that, actually. DeMar DeVine. DeRozan and LaVine both finished with 26. Bucci was good last night. They were doubling DeRozan quite a bit. I said he's got to be able to punish a 4-on-3. He was dinking and dumping last night to the tune of 19 and 13. But more importantly, the Bulls held the Raptors to 99 points. Only the second time they've held a team under 100 since January 21st. And the Bulls got 29 points off turnovers, which is a huge boon to their offense. So that was encouraging to me. The Bulls came in needing to win this game, and they actually put forth a really big effort. Felt like they rediscovered the identity that made them a good team early in the season, right before they're going on a 5-game road trip. So good stuff from Chicago last night.
What did you think of Patrick Williams' return to obviously the Bulls' rotation? He played about 20 minutes, scored 7.
He was a... I thought he was moving really well. I thought he looked athletic, and I thought he looked aggressive, which has kind of been the problem with Patrick Williams in his career, is that he'll just kind of let everybody else do everything, and he's happy to play defense and rebound, which certainly the Bulls need. But he put the ball on the floor, got to the hoop. He missed an easy layup right away, but then he got another layup later on. He had a three at one point, and then he did like a random 360 layup on the break for some reason. I don't know. I don't know why he went for like the super reverse, but it looked cool. But I'll tell you what, I'm very excited to watch Patrick Williams versus Scottie Barnes. Hopefully they both stay on the Bulls and Raptors for the next decade or so. They're such similar, like, build players that they're obviously going to be guarding each other. Came from the same school, both number 4 picks. Their jerseys look very similar, so it's fun watching those two. But getting him back, everybody was excited, and he actually played pretty decently for being off for quite some time.
Cool-looking guy, too. I forgot about that. Maybe Tyrese Maxey's got a great smile. I mean, Patrick Williams is a cool-looking guy. I don't know why. He's just got a good... And he's huge as well. That helps. He can play with Lamar DeVine. you went with DeMar LaVine. Like, yeah, let's go Lamar DeVine. They look good together.
I thought the Bulls dodged a couple of bullets on the offensive rebounding from the Raptors last night. They got enough opportunities, but Toronto went 6 for 32 from downtown.
When they don't have Gary Trent Jr. I mean... I know he's had stretches where he can't hit a 3-2, but they just can't. I mean, VanVleet, when he only hits 3, and then I think like 2 other guys hit a 3.
Yeah, I think they missed 11.
Armani Brooks was hit 2 of them.
Yeah, and one was in garbage
time there.
There's
just like Precious couldn't hit anything. Yeah. You know, like they just couldn't hit a 3.
Right? I think it was 11 in a row they missed at one point there. But I thought, again, Boucher and Birch actually kept a couple of balls alive there for them. Boucher was actually really good, I thought, last night.
Phenomenal.
And defensively had a couple of nice plays there. But, yeah, it was that key third quarter stretch there that Zach LaVine, very, like Trey pointed out there, hesitant in that first half. Mm-hmm. And then he almost was like, what am I doing? I'm Zach LaVine, you know? And he started attacking. And once they got on that little sort of run there, they created, it felt like, 3 or 4 turnovers in a row and just went straight down the other end and scored and sort of put that distance in the game.
Well, I think you can see on both sides, there's a guy who's been injured that's not quite right yet. I think Zach LaVine is just not himself quite yet. And Fred VanVleet, I mean, this is just me sitting in front of my TV, but he just doesn't look like old Freddy. I mean, he's just kind of slowly limping around after his shots. He just doesn't have that same bounce and, you know, sort of in and out of the lineup a little bit since the All-Star break. I wonder how much that knee is bugging him and will continue to bug him for the rest of the season because, yeah, it's worrisome that he's in and out and just isn't feeling quite right. Gary Trent, you're right, needs to be beside him for them to hit shots. And then on the other side, the injury front, a little worrisome with Lonzo Ball. Arthroscopic knee surgery about 7 weeks ago, and they've said, well, his rehab isn't going perfectly. He's sort of plateaued is the word that they use, so they're going to pull him back for 10 days and just not have him do basketball activities. So, I mean, that's really going to bump up to the end of the season, whether or not Lonzo Ball is going to be there for the playoffs, helping out and really getting back that identity. In this game, it's an excuse, but the Raps 3 games in 4 nights on a back-to-back emotional win. They just had no energy. Lonzo Ball is a guy like that can match energy on any night, so hopefully he comes back for this team.
And when you talk Lonzo, like everybody brings up like, wow, the perimeter defense, like that's just like a huge part of how the Bulls got off to that hot start, and that's totally true. But I think they forget, and Trey, you know this better than anyone, like guy gives them a three-point shot, takes a three-point shot, was hitting like at an unbelievable clip here. You know, before the injury. So just like he's doing it on both ends, just being a bit of a floor spacer. So yeah, that sucks though. It sounds like he's not going to be back for the regular season here.
Yeah. Bulls are 30th in 3-point attempts, 28th in makes. They just need somebody to shoot them, which is why I'm like, anytime Levine passes it up, I'm like, I would take any Zach Levine shot, even if it's got two hands in his face. But yeah, the Lonzo news doesn't sound good to stop him from running and cutting. Yeah. For 10 days, when there's like 10 days left in the season, I wouldn't be surprised if it's next year that Lonzo's back. Yep. So we shall see.
Big, big win, though, for Chicago. Tough loss for the Raptors. They're trying to chase the Bulls in the standings, and they're trying to chase the Cavs to get out of the play-in tournament. And Cleveland loses last night, Tass, but the Raps can't make up that game because we had LeBron with the massive triple-double dunking on Kevin Love and then getting into a headlock fight with him as he helps the Lakers get the much-needed victory as well as they beat Cleveland.
Yeah, it's one of those out-of-this-world LeBron performances where he's 37 years of age that you can really enjoy because they won. It's not one of those,
sure.
40 and a loss. You know, they came out and they put 131 up on the Cavs, and the Cavs, I think, were kind of sitting back and watching LeBron and enjoying the show. That's what Coach Bickerstaff said after the game, and you could just see it. It seemed like LeBron was in a gym by himself at times. The one-legged fades in the lane. It was definitely LeBronto flashbacks. I mean, he's good against... he was great against the Raps back in the day. He's great against the Cavs. He's 17-1 against the Cavs all time now. So he got 38 points, 11 boards, and 12 assists. Again, it just felt like he was in the gym by himself. 30 points per game now he's at officially, leading the scoring race, 30.0. I like that. I definitely like that round number.
I like that.
That one makes sense. You know, we make up stats all the time. This guy is leading the league in scoring. He's 37 years of age. He's 30 points per game. You know, he needed some great performances from his teammates. 20 points from DJ Augustine. That's a little midseason pickup. He was 7 of 7 from three-point land. And Russell Westbrook... You got to say it. He's 20 points and 11 assists. Let's big him up while he's playing well. His last three games, 21, 8, 9.7 assists per game, 53% from the floor, and 50% from three-point land.
And only one turnover last night.
Yep.
Him and LeBron, 4 combined. That's big.
It is big. So, yeah, and 2 of those 3 games are wins, reps, and this one against Cleveland. Plus, they were up in the fourth quarter against the Wizards, so they could have been 3-0. The fun here was LeBron and his dunk on his old teammate, Kevin Love, because his head was at the freaking rim.
Yeah.
It legitimately was at the rim. And, yeah, again, you can really enjoy it, unless your name is Kevin Love, because, as you said, he did the headlock, and we've got the video here, JD.
It's a real headlock.
Yeah, he goes and gets him. You don't see this on a court.
He's trying to tap him out.
Yeah, he looks like he's in the locker room, like, you know, we're wrestling here. But after getting dunked on, I mean, he really pulled the chute. He didn't want to take a charge whatsoever. Yeah. He got the heck out of there, but he got him back with that 9-second headlock right there. But LeBron and Westbrook playing better. This team cutting, again, their starters look like they want to pass and they want to cut. They do give up a lot of points. There's no doubt. But I think those two guys, plus a healthy Anthony Davis, is the reason I want this 31-41 team in the play-in tournament. I mean, they're not great, but they can definitely beat people.
What do you think, Lee?
Yeah, LeBron just has a different energy, I think, back in Cleveland. You know, and in other games this season, you've seen the fourth quarter, he's looked kind of old and slow. This time they have a win. He's in front of his home fans. He's had the big dunks, having a great game. He was like, yep, I've got the energy again. And they have been playing a little bit better, I guess. But
it's almost like, you know what, we're not going to do anything this season, and now this pressure's off, and they're playing a bit looser. Westbrook looks to me, actually, like a little bit more like he's broken the shackles.
Right.
So whether or not they can keep it up, who knows. But still, I wouldn't be overly frightened of this team. You shouldn't be, because you can score against them. It's just the Cavs had a bit of trouble last night in the end. They were playing good enough, but then it was that, you know, LeBron takeover that we don't see as many of these days, and the Cavs didn't really have an answer. That to them is not a bad sort of idea of what it's going to be like in the playoffs. So, like, things get a little bit tighter. You've been playing really well this season. You have to figure out a way to just keep the scoreboard ticking over, and I didn't think they were able to do a good enough job of that.
Any notes on this one?
I don't have many notes to add. I just love Kevin Love doing bits. Like, if you're going to get dunked on, like, as soon as he got dunked on, he, like, just laid on the floor like he was actually deceased. And then, obviously, he came back out after the second half, threw him in a headlock. LeBron said, don't put that on my career highlight reel.
Yeah.
I didn't know him and Kevin Love were such close buddies at this point. I guess he's fitting in instead of fitting out these days. But great stuff from LeBron. You could tell it was going to be a special night when he got that baseline dunk early in the second quarter, and his head was at the rim again. He basically did a chin up. You're like, okay, 40s in the cards here. He ended up with 38 because he was passing the ball a little bit too much. Had to get the triple double as well.
38, didn't hit a three, and only hit four free throws, or I think it was something like that. It wasn't a ton of trips to the free throw line.
So, yeah.
I mean, the jumper was falling, a little fadeaway, and then obviously attacking and dunking on it felt like half the roster.
That's the old locomotive as well at times, where it's just like, ugh, get out of his way here. But
crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, you do forget how old he is. It's wild what he's still doing here and taking the lead in the scoring race.
Why hasn't that guy, there was that the viral video of the guy, you know, shooting and not getting help. He was pretending he was LeBron and said, I'm 36. You know, the guy in the corner. There's a viral video going on.
I haven't seen
older.
This viral video.
You've seen it. Where the guy says, I'm 36 in the corner. He's pretending to be LeBron, not getting help with the Lakers. This is last year when he was 36.
Oh.
I'm surprised he didn't make another viral video where he's 37.
I don't remember.
Yeah, you guys have seen it. Okay. I just didn't do a good job. I told you. I told you it's very difficult relaying viral videos in real life, or memes.
Especially memes. From last season.
If it didn't happen this last week, I've long forgotten about it. But
anyways.
Okay. What about this game? Reggie Bullock and the Mavs. They hold on after a delay, some crazy storms down there in Dallas, and they beat the Timberwolves 110 to 108. There's a lot to unpack from this game, Taz, so I don't know where you want to start.
Well, let's start with the roof leaking there.
Sure.
It was a strange sight. Everybody looking up, and including owner Mark Cuban, like, what is going on with my roof? I thought he was going to go up there and patch it himself. But yeah, very strange. And then I was just looking forward to the Patrick Beverley, Luka Doncic one-on-one matchup, and that came through.
It paid off.
Yeah. Luka hates playing against Patrick Beverley. That's clear.
Everybody hates playing against Patrick Beverley.
Yeah, but he's had games in the past, playoff games in the past. Mavs facing the Clippers, but he still hasn't found a way to just shed Patrick Beverley, not be pissed in the moment, not let it get to him. It's still getting to him, and he tried. There's lots of close-ups of Patrick Beverley, you know, getting away with a lot of hacks on Luka, which I don't think that happens in the playoffs. I don't think you can get away with all those hacks. I mean, Patrick Beverley's just flying under the radar for some reason. I mean, he's a Draymond Green-like. He's pushing the boundaries, getting away with hacks, and Luka wanting to turn around and smack him in the face, but holding back. Beverley in the end, doing an incredible job on Luka. Luka had an off night at 5 of 17 and 15 points, but his men beside him, they came through.
Yeah, because they were all wide open in the corner.
Yeah,
yeah.
How many corner threes did they hit in this game?
BJ Tucker's open in the corner.
My goodness.
Yeah, it's great to see Reggie Bullock come through. 6 of 11 from the floor, 6 of 11 from three.
Yeah,
didn't step into 2-point territory, nice. Banging home those threes. I will say the Spencer Dinwiddie line. He only hit one three. That is important. He can drive. And he's comfortable doing that. Even though you don't think of him really as a guy who finishes at the rim, he's doing a good job of that. 20 points off the bench. Performance for the Mavs where they got 6 guys in double figures. Not only that, 6 guys with 15 plus. So that's why they win this game. They get to the end with that weird thing that happened. The Wolves were down 3. Patrick Beverley at the line.
Yeah.
And it was cool how he pulled it off. He got the ball from the referee.
He intentionally missed free throw,
And he, you know, had it over his head like a soccer pass, like an inbound soccer pass. Hit the rim, came off, and he went into the lane and got it. But then the Mavs challenged that. They challenged that he crossed the line too early. Am I right?
No.
What did they challenge?
It was the foul.
Yeah, foul. Yeah.
On Doncic.
He got the
foul. Yeah. So that was
they called
legal.
A foul, and then they were like, let's go replay this. Yeah. The ending of this game was god-awful.
Yeah. Okay.
And
so they challenged
to be
the foul because he grabbed the ball, got foul. They whistled it, but they challenged that foul.
Yeah.
And so there was a jump ball.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which it was overturned.
Yeah, it was overturned, which was an argument because they were up three. Wouldn't you rather just have Patrick Beverley go to the line for two more rather than...
Well, like,
you could lose the ball and shoot a three.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Right. I guess but then they just ended up fouling again. I mean, this is the thing. Like, there's a great article on CBS Sports today about what is the NBA doing here with these intentional fouls and, like, even the intentionally missed free throws and the long reviews. Like, how is this entertaining?
No, it's not.
It's not. Like, especially the intentional fouls. Like,
yeah, that which wasn't a part of this.
Well, it was. I mean, do you think... Look, it's a rule, and the Mavs played it perfectly. So I'm not, like, knocking Kidd and their staff for doing it. But I think it should be changed.
Oh, that part of it, okay.
Fouling when you're up three. We are just removing, like, some of the most exciting things from the game because the strategy says foul up three and put them in the line, and then let's go from there. But, like, you could argue, like, why don't we just make that an intentional foul? And shots in the ball.
I don't think you can remove that. That's so hard to do because you could just pretend, hey, I'm going to defend this player with the ball and hack him, and he goes to the line. It's a small part. Go one step further then.
If you foul a guy outside of the three-point line when there's like less than 24 seconds to go with something like that. It's just like this idea of like, we're just making the game worse. It's boring. I mean, I get it. You get the missed free throws, the intentional. It's like all that, but no one wants that. We want to see a guy try and take a shot, and you want to see it defended.
Yeah, I don't know and how you take that out of strategy, the strategy of the game.
That's all you do is you just penalize him. But the opposite is happening. You're incentivized to foul.
Yeah, but like, if a guy's dribbling around the three-point line, how can you judge whether or not he hacks him? Like, you know, like anybody is hacked when they're dribbling a basketball. You know, it's
deliberate versus
I get it. You're right. Defense, the defenders will get creative in the sense of like, was that intentional? Okay, but last night, this one where who was it? Was it Beverly that
came around the screen?
Oh, yeah.
And, he was shooting the ball.
Yeah.
He was 100% shooting.
Right.
That should have been a 3-point foul.
Sure. But these other ones where obviously it's just an intentional foul and we're going to play that game because that's what the numbers say and put in line. I get all that. Like, again, this is like the right strategy, but I think it should be changed. I just don't think it's good for an entertainment product.
Yeah.
Which is what this is supposed to be at the end.
I think it's a little tough to change that rule to sort of eradicate it completely. But on the Doncic one.
But why? Why do you guys keep saying that?
Well,
what
because,
do you mean?
Because
penalize the people fouling. So. Free throws, and they keep the ball.
Yeah, but on that one, it's like you're just basically stopping them from shooting a three. You can do that. You should be able to do that.
Okay, well, I'm arguing you shouldn't.
Well, really. I don't think you can take that out of the game yet. I don't think, unless you've got, I mean...
Oh, you love free throws, so you're the last person.
No. I like pressure free throws, not free throws in general. But look, the thing is, afterwards, Beverly, he got the ball again, and Doncic fouled him and like sort of slapped at him.
Yeah.
That's the one that I think they should look at and say... Like, that's not really a foul there. You're just hitting him. Unless you're impeding him in some way, then it's play on. Because I think Beverly turned around and hit the three. Now, he may have actually, I don't know if his foot was on the line, but he took the shot there.
Yeah. This thing that I'm saying get rid of happened twice in the final.
I know what you're saying. I mean, the last thing we want is reviews like that and the game dragging out. But you should still be able to defend the guy and foul him. Without it then being saying, well, that now is a possession.
Yeah, but the problem is, this happens almost every second game where the guy, like Beverly, saying, I'm shooting the three. And they're saying, no, we fouled you on the floor. Then we go and
review
it.
But that's a different thing.
Then we go look at
it. That's a different thing because Beverly was shooting.
I know.
So that's a difference there. Like if the guy hasn't gotten into his shooting motion, then that shouldn't be an extra
My point is
punishment.
That the team will stop even trying to do the intentional foul to get them to the line instead of, because then you're going to be penalized for it.
But some teams
still It's not a penalty right
some
now.
Some teams don't do the foul, though. They like, we'll live with the missed three.
Jason Kidd used to not do
not
it.
Not do it. Now
he's changed.
And it worked. Yeah. Again, I don't want Mavs fans coming at me. This was what you should do. I'm just saying overall, I think it's something the league should look at. Because this is a great game. Wolves are back in it. You know, we get these like back and forth shots being made. The buzz is building. And then a lot of times what happens is this crap happens. And it's like you're there or you're watching on TV. We're sickos. We're going to watch regardless and we're going to talk about it. But casual fans are like, oh, another review or what the heck. I mean, I can't even see a potential game-tying shot or something like that. It's just, it's not as fun. It's the honest truth.
I think the bigger picture is the classic casual fan issue, which is an issue for us. The end of games take too long. It was happening in the David Stern era. They tried to address it with Adam Silver. Adam Silver definitely has it high up on the whiteboard, I'm sure. The end of games just take way too long, and we're all exasperated by that. I don't think this intentional foul really changes all that much. The video reviews in general are the biggest issue of everything. And I think the intentional fouls for the first 47 minutes of the game, in terms of a guy just, you know, having a break, it's a two-on-one. They just grab him for no reason. They grab the ball handler for no reason. That's to me a bigger issue than this, you know, 3-point situation, which is, you know, a very unique situation where it's 3 points and you just foul a guy because you want him shooting two. It doesn't happen a lot, and I think that's part of the strategy.
Quite a bit. It happens.
Okay. I mean, we're going to see it happen
probably another 5 to 10 times as we get in the home stretch here and into the playoffs. Like, this happens all the time. You're up 3, and then what do? Are we intentionally fouling? And the guy's putting his hand up.
Luke on the second one's like,
while he's fouling, he's putting his hand up. Like, I'm taking the take foul here. Yeah. You know, the intentional foul. It's like,
I don't mind that as a strategy of the game if we had some quicker endings to the game. I mean, if we weren't watching Stripes look at video review monitors.
Okay, but hold on. I'm saying you want it to be quicker, and then I'm saying if you penalize that, if you called it an intentional foul, they would then get shots and the ball. Teams will stop doing it. So then the game's going to be faster.
I don't know how you determine if a thing is intentional. Then you're going to have a referee going to the video monitor board saying, maybe he was just playing defense. I mean, you could just...
Then maybe you need to, what I'm saying, go extreme with it. If you're outside the three-point line or something like that, and there's 24 seconds or less or something, and it's a foul occurs, then it's the same idea or something. Something to stop teams from wanting to do it because it's in their best interest to do it. Which is so funny. For a majority of the game, it's like fouls are bad. You're hurt that way. And then in a way, they become a positive for you. It's just a weird switch, that's all.
Yeah.
And it's not fun to watch is the other thing. Any take on this?
I personally like seeing an intentionally missed free throw. I hate seeing a review. And Lee is right that teams kind of just did start fouling in this situation. Like 10 years ago, just rewind 10 years ago, you're taking the three. You're probably not getting a foul there, you know, to send the guy to the line. But I don't know. It feels a little bit like an overthink to get rid of fouls in the last 10 seconds just because you want to see some game-winning threes. So I'm more with Lee and Tass on this one. But also shout out to Beverly. He did the intentional miss and get the rebound thing twice.
Yeah.
And he did it two different ways because he did the fast one, which was cool. And then they got the Doncic play where this was just 100% Beverly catching everybody off guard. Like nobody knew that he was going to do it right away. That was cool.
Yeah.
And then he did a higher toss one. On the second one, it just bounced around a little to Towns, who kind of had to throw up that little prayer over the backboard. But, you know, pretty well done, I thought, by Beverly to actually get somewhat of a possession for the Timberwolves both times.
That's why he won the skills challenge at the All-Star game years ago.
He gave Luka one hell of a butt slap too last night.
Oh, and then we got the Luka eye roll
right now. Come on.
Yeah.
Egregious butt slap.
After fouling him.
Yeah.
He gave him a butt slap.
And then you saw the Luka eye roll. It's like, there's your meme right there. Yeah. That should be one. Yeah.
And then after the game, Luka had the ball and Patrick Beverly steals it. The game's over, but he steals it just to keep on going. It's crazy stuff. But if you are the Wolves, you look at that, and you did a really good job, I thought, on Luka with the 8 turnovers. You mentioned the shooting, 5 for 17 in total. But Reggie Bullock and other guys stepped up. So this was a big game. It was a fun game overall. And the Wolves...
It was until the ending. Yeah. I mean, it was too with the intentionally missed.
Yeah, but the Wolves, you know, they have to answer these questions against tough teams. They got the Mavericks one more time. And I thought overall they were pretty good.
I thought they were going to pull it off. I mean, Towns had that massive massive dunk late. And then they had that little bit of a lead. But yeah, it was... The strategy was sound, obviously, like anybody but Luka, but I almost wonder if they went too far to the extreme because it was a lot of like, he's going to make the pass, and those guys were just hitting open corner three after open corner three, and it was, you know, Finney Smith included with Reggie Bullock there. JD, throw up the playoff picture if you have it available, because this is a big win for Dallas here, obviously, in terms of where they're trying to land in the seeding race, and we'll get to the Nets Jazz a little bit later in the show, but the Utah losing. Right now, though, it's still 4-5. Utah would have home court advantage against Dallas, as we show this to everybody in the stream team. you know, I've been sharing this every morning on Twitter. It's changing every day. That's the exciting part. It's like every day there's like two or three teams like flipping each other. Mm. You know, Philly back to two if you look over in the East, and Milwaukee down to three. So exciting
Philly,
times.
Look at that. Maybe facing Brooklyn in the first round. That's what we want, isn't it?
It's what we want, for sure. Yeah. But will we get it? Just some other games here just to throw in. We had the Hornets defeating the Pelicans 106-103 for their fifth straight victory. Miles Bridges after the game said, quote, "We had a bad February and we were dropping out of the playoffs, so we just wanted to show the NBA that we're here." "We are going to continue to play like this and put the NBA on notice." But nice ending here. LaMelo had a very tough floater in the lane with about 10 seconds to go, and then the Pelicans went to McCollum, which makes sense, but the Hornets, they swarmed him.
Yep.
And they ran a couple guys at him, and he was never even to get able to get up a shot. So Hornets outscored the Pelicans 21-10 in the final 9 minutes of that game. And a quick Mason Plumdog update.
Here we go.
3-for-4 at the line.
Yeah.
Switching hands, as we've talked about. He's shooting it left-handed now after he injured his right finger there.
Yeah,
right,
and a couple of wide-open dunks as well there. I mean, look, he's a big guy, he's an athlete like that, but you can't give up so many easy baskets in such a tight game here if you're the Pels. But yeah, keep shooting lefties, man. They're great.
Yeah, 3-for-4. I mean, you're laughing. He's like a 35% free throw shooter this season. And then just one more here. We won't get to all of them because we're running a little long. Tatum scored 36 as the Celtics rolled past OKC 132-123. The good times continue to roll for the Beantown boys here. I know they're playing OKC, but Tatum, another 30 plus points. That's three straight games. Jaylen Brown, 25. Batman.
It's sticking.
Batman is
here. He's Batman now.
He literally was like in his press conference last night assigning roles, you know, Marvel characters to all the players on his team now. So yeah, he's all in on this. Grant Batman Williams, he scored 20. Peyton Pritchard, 5-11 from deep there. He finished with 18. And they started this game on a run. They maintained the lead. Trey Mann, awesome for OKC. Set a franchise rookie scoring record with 35 points. He hit 7 threes, but...
You want to go through the Marvel characters that he assigned to his teammates?
Do you have it in front of you?
Yeah, we can go through it quick.
I mean, Marvel characters, huh?
What's that?
He did Marvel characters.
Yeah, Celtics Marvel comps. Grant Williams list. Who is Marcus Smart?
The Penguin. I don't even know.
The Hulk.
That's DC.
Yeah.
Hulk.
He's the Hulk.
Okay, Hulk.
Jaylen Brown.
Iron Man.
Black Panther.
Okay.
Ooh, good one.
Al Horford. This is an interesting one.
Dr. Stephen Strange.
Al Horford is Captain America.
Okay. He's old. Just like Captain America.
Okay.
Unfrozen.
Aaron Nesmith coming off the bench.
Hawkeye.
Drax.
What?
my brain's not too hot here. Who's Luke?
Luke Cornett.
This is gettable.
Hawkeye.
No.
It's gettable, so it's one of the shortest.
He doesn't say a lot.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, good. Tall and skinny.
Rob Williams.
Good, Dr. Stephen Strange, the time lord.
No, hold on.
Good guess.
Can you give us a hint? Like, can we get it at all?
The ancient one.
He's a big name.
Thor.
Yes.
Yeah.
Daniel Tice's Captain Marvel. Jason Tatum?
Iron Man?
I don't even know who this is.
You don't know who it is?
I guess I should, but I don't.
Morbius?
No. It starts with a V.
Venom?
No. I know Venom.
Vision. WandaVision.
Yeah, okay.
That's a good one. That's fair.
Yeah.
Oh my god, he signed.
He went through the entire team. Peyton Pritchard is Quicksilver. Derek White is Iron Man. I guess. And Grant, he didn't assign himself. Spider-Man, there's another Grant? I don't know.
Well, anyways, is the funny... Batman is DC. DC, right.
That's right.
Then he had to give himself a Marvel one.
Ime Udoka. Coach Ime Udoka for the last one here. Take it home.
Professor X.
No.
Who is the coach of the Marvel superheroes?
I think
the Time Stone?
No, it's a very common first name with a last name that is
Thanos. Sort of,
no, there's no Thanos on here.
Bruce Banner,
Nick Fury.
We should have got that. He is the coach of the Avengers, kind of.
All right,
there we go.
Wow. okay, on that note, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, we'll get into a little Is This News.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
All right, back with the boys here in the Classic Factory. Let's do a little Is This News. Yeah, heads up. Got some headlines here for you. You guys can debate whether or not they're really newsworthy. First one, we'll give credit to ESPN on this one. Ben Simmons has a herniated disc in his back. Timeline for return still unclear. Trey, is this news?
It isn't news because nothing has changed. Ben Simmons is still not playing, but it is news because to me it kind of shows the Nets aren't going to be counting on Ben Simmons this year. They still want him back. They say he still could come back, but the guy just had an epidural. There's 10 games left in the season and he hasn't played in 275 days. That's like a huge task to ask for somebody who isn't Ben Simmons. Not to mention we saw the way things ended in Philadelphia for Ben Simmons. So it's weird stuff. The best version of the Nets at their full strength will have a healthy Ben Simmons. Also a healthy Joe Harris would help. But anything they get, I think, from Ben Simmons this year is going to be gravy, but that's fine because they got the potatoes. Kevin Durant is straight up the potatoes. He's good enough to win any series himself, as we saw last night. 37-9-8 against the Jazz. Clinical precision from KD, I would say. He even brought back the teeny peeny on Royce O'Neal. Too small is on another level right now. You've got the standard one hand. KD has pinched to grow an inch. I was watching the NCAA tournament over the weekend. There was a guy named Eddie Lampkin Jr. He had like an awesome putback, and he went with two hands for the too small to the ground. Oh, wow. So I don't know.
I would
the
add
next
to that. I guess we have seen before.
Rocking
sort of
the baby.
The baby. Yeah,
that's gone though. Yeah. I think that's gone. I think we had Draymond's flex, you know, where he would just put his arms up, not actually flex his muscles. Yeah. And then we had Rocking the Baby. It's all about too small right now. So I'm excited to see what the next innovation is, but it doesn't seem like it's coming from Ben Simmons.
No. Mm.
Yeah. Kevin Durant is he's lethal with that too small.
Oh, it's so mean. I feel like that's
the meanest one. Like hand to the floor. I get it. You're small, but this is real brutal. You know?
I think it's like there's an extra layer to its brutality too, because like it's one thing when a big guy is in the post, you know, mouse in the house, you know, barbecue chicken just put you in the rim. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, you're too small. You can't guard me because I'm a giant. But Durant is a perimeter player, though he is a giant at 7 feet tall. So he can do it to basically everybody. Nobody is big enough to defend him on the perimeter. So he's going to shoot over everybody. So in theory, he could always drop the teeny weeny people.
Yeah. And I think he's going to do more of it because he's the sort of guy who likes to show, no one can get close to me. We saw last night DeRozan, actually, after he hit one on Fred VanVleet, sort of, I don't want to do this, but
he just
looked
at him.
Yeah, he just sort of like, I'm not really going to do it, because they're buds. But Kevin Durant, he's a vicious man out there. And this was great, because the Jazz came back in this game, and then it was Kevin Durant's like, get out of here. Right. He 15 for 23 last night. Man, he's just, when he's cooking like this, it's beautiful to watch.
Do you think Trey's maybe right here, though, that, like, are we going to see Ben Simmons at all this season? You don't think so?
No, I don't see how he could get himself physically. He wasn't even doing 5-on-5 stuff sort of before. This back injury, by the way, has been around for now at least 2 or 3 weeks. So for him to get back into condition, to get into 5-on-5 stuff, and then that's basically the playoffs. I just don't think, considering how the playoffs ended for him last season, your first time you want to see him is out there in the court in the playoffs, because that's probably not the best situation for him.
Yeah, I do think they bring him back in any capacity. Like, if he can come off the bench and play 10 minutes, you know, like a guy who's been injured can. He was, you know, in Steve Nash's words, working out hard for several months. And I think they know that the best version, as Trey said, of this team is Ben Simmons helping out defensively. And the good thing is he doesn't have much of a responsibility, really, because Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and even Goran Dragic can handle the ball a ton. And they did really well to get Goran Dragic off the scrap heap because, you know, he's another creator that can really help. You can see how small Goran Dragic is at times on the defensive end, which would, you know, be gone with Ben Simmons helping out. But Dragic is a great find to play point guard minutes, but he's always sort of the low man helping out defensively, you know, coming over and helping out. Simmons would just be so perfect for this team. And I think because it's not a huge responsibility, they're going to throw him out there, I think, no matter what. And Steve Nash keeps saying, you know, Steve Nash lied to us when he said that James Harden isn't being dealt at the deadline. But
Nash has had back issues.
He said my herniated discs are, you know, everybody's unique, so I'm not going to really comment on it. But he does say he expects to see Ben Simmons back. Is that just company speak? Maybe. But yes, it's getting too close to really say he's going to be a starter in 30 minutes per game. Yeah. Definitely that.
Yeah, I mean, it's also like, it's not like the Nets window is like, in Kevin Durant terms, it's like this small, you know. It's like Ben Simmons is under contract for what, another
three years?
It is that, right? So I guess they don't want to aggravate something even more extreme, and this is a back injury, a herniated disc at that. I mean, for a guy that's what, 25, 26 years old, you're going to be pretty cautious with that. And you can still beat anybody when you have Durant, and then if Kyrie is playing in some of these games too. Like, the Nets are going to basically just piss in the eye of the regular season. They're going to obviously be in the play-in. They're going to get in, you know, unless Durant somehow got injured. Like, they're going to.
And that's got to put up a fight against any of these.
That's
got to be somewhat of a concern for the minutes that he's playing, because he's been injured in the past. And again, without Kyrie there in these home games, especially to close out the season, Kevin Durant is going to have to play heavy minutes. So, you know, that is one concern here, that Durant, a guy who has a lot of injuries, even this season, you want him to be obviously 100% in the playoffs.
All right, our next headline. Didn't really have time yesterday to get to this. I guess it's when the news broke. But from The Athletic, NBA veteran guard Jamal Crawford retires after 20 seasons. Took to Twitter to let us know, Tass. Is this news?
Sure, I think he's retiring here towards the end of March because he was waiting for a 10-day. It sure felt like. You got a guy like Isaiah Thomas in Charlotte just signed to the rest of the season with the Hornets after two 10-day contracts, where he is on a heater. 10 points per game, only 13 minutes in each game, and 48% from three.
Yep.
Jamal Crawford could put up numbers like that, I would say, and especially on a team that might need offense. But it's understandable. I mean, we've seen Jamal Crawford hasn't been, you know, playing the last couple years since he was a Brooklyn Net bubble man, if I am correct. So that was 2020.
He's 42 years old.
He's 42. He just turned 42. So I guess it's time. Although, you know, he could have put up points for a team desperate for points off the bench, just like IT does.
Yeah, some team should have signed Jamal Crawford just for like this last month of the season to see if he could get 50 for another team.
Yeah.
50-point games are going around like hotcakes right now. He's got them for four different franchises, the Knicks, the Bulls, the Warriors, and the Suns. Jamal Crawford is going to be one of those great you-had-to-be-there players.
Yeah.
Kind of along the lines of Nick Van Exel, I think. Like, everybody who watches basketball from 01 to 2020 is going to have some favorite Jamal Crawford moments, like his crossovers. There was the story that he never practices. Like, he had never practiced ball handling in his life.
Yeah.
And he's got the sickest handles in, like, the past two decades until Kyrie Irving came along. Three Sixth Man of the Years. Has that crazy record for the four-point plays as well.
Yeah.
So he's just got a couple, like a few things that we'll always remember about Jamal Crawford, even if he wasn't the biggest star in the league.
Yeah, a unique legacy, I guess people are saying. You would agree with that?
Oh, yeah. Some of those moves on the fast break, I remember the one against the Knicks especially, where he sort of, you know, went to the left, put it behind him, and laid it up. That became, you know, he did that a few times throughout his career. So, but this season as well, remember Joe Johnson was back in the league this year, and Jamal Crawford kept himself ready and in shape. So I am surprised this season he didn't get at least someone call him up and say, all right, we're desperate right now when everyone was missing players due to coronavirus and stuff that he didn't get a gig then. But anyway, I'm sure we'll still see him around. He's been doing some stuff for the NBA,
yep.
And he's actually really comfortable on camera. So I think we're going to still see plenty of Jamal Crawford.
19,419 points in his career, so just short of that 20,000 point mark that we've
and no All-Star appearances at all. So no, I mean that might be the leading scorer for no All-Star appearances.
No, somebody squeezed out 20.
Rudy Gay? Where's Rudy at? No,
Rudy hasn't got to 20 quite
no,
yet.
No, he hasn't there. I think Tess is right because we talked about it not too long ago.
Maybe not. Maybe there isn't one.
That's a lot of points. 20K. No All-Star appearances. 9 teams. Yeah, 20 years he played. No. Guy just loved to hoop.
Yeah, I think that's right.
And you're right. I tweeted it. My favorite stat about him, and I just hope he has it forever, though I'm sure at some point somebody will pass him. I think it's 55 four-point plays. If you just count the regular season, and he had another 5 more if you count the postseason. Cool. So 60 total 4-point plays where he hit the 3, got fouled, and hit the free throw.
And it's not close who's second, I don't think.
Yeah,
I think it was like daylight between him and whoever was next.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That is a lot. I know the game like changing is obviously more 3-point attempts and stuff like that, so maybe somebody eventually breaks it, but I hope he holds on to that one forever. Okay, final headline. From Real GM, the headline, but really by way of Mark Stein, Quinn Snyder mentioned as possible candidate to coach the Lakers or the Spurs. Is this news, Lele?
Yes, it is news, I would say. Mark Stein is very plugged in, and so if he reports something, it's not usually just something that's he's just pulled out of thin air. There's probably talk out there, and there are some vacancies going to be around next season. Maybe San Antonio, I'm not sure. Greg Popovich. Stein believes that Popovich probably coaches one more season. And the Lakers, I don't think Vogel returns short of them somehow pulling off a miraculous playoff run or winning the championship. And I think in Utah, it probably is time for a change too. This will be his 8th season. They've never gotten past the second round. Mm-hmm. And I think if you're the Jazz, I don't think they get past the second round this season either. I think either him or Rudy or Donovan is not going to be there next season, and I think Snyder is probably the first domino to fall. I think he's done a good job with this team, but I also sort of think you see the same sort of things happening in the playoffs. They can't get past that second round. They've led. They've been up 3-1 and haven't been able to do it. Against the Clippers last season, you know, when Kawhi goes down, they were up 2-0 in that series and they lose in 6. That, to me, was pretty bad. Like, mm-hmm. Kawhi goes down and you can't finish off that team. So I think if you're the Jazz, you'd probably go, you know what, Snyder's done a good job. They've always been a consistent defensive team, an offensive team. But playoff Snyder maybe hasn't had the same success. So maybe it's time for him to go to a different situation and try someone different. I have no question he will be a coach in demand. I just feel after 8 seasons, a couple of 50 winners in there.
So you don't think if they make the conference finals?
I don't think. I think there's going to be definitely a change. There's talk that Donovan's not happy there as well. They're, you know, same with Rudy. But again, I think if you're the franchise, you're like, we're not giving up our players first. I think the coach is probably the first guy to go.
He's, I think, like one of the longest tenured coaches in the league. It's probably Pop, Spoelstra, and then probably Snyder.
I think he's tied with Kerr. I think they started the same year.
What do you think about this rumor here from Mark Stein?
Well, it's definitely interesting, and it'll kind of show us what the Jazz ownership group is all about these days, because Utah has had 3 coaches since 1989. They don't change coaches, and yeah, the Jazz haven't taken the biggest leap, but like they've built a really good program.
Yeah.
Like the Jazz are one of the best teams in the league every single year, and they play a team style of basketball that you kind of have to do when you're playing in Utah. So San Antonio certainly has to be thinking, that's pretty Greg Popovich-y, what you're doing there in Utah. Whereas the Lakers are probably like, you built a really good team. Now imagine if you had superstar talent. So to me, it would be more along the lines of, does Quinn Snyder want to do something different than be a Utah Jazz coach? Because I don't know. Would the Jazz fire him? Would they scapegoat him? That's not a very Jazzy thing to do. But they've also got Dwayne Wade there now. They've got Danny Ainge there now. A lot of new voices compared to the past. So it's interesting.
I think Stein says in his newsletter, it's sort of unclear even what Snyder's contract situation is. I know he signed an extension, but no one's really sure how many years and like when it ends. So yeah, Trey's right. Like, would there be like a firing here, or would it be coming up that he would possibly getting a new one? I don't know.
It feels like, I agree with Lee. Something's got to change. They're running it back over and over and over again. It feels a little Raptors-y with Dwayne Casey at the helm, where they just can't get over the hump. Whether it's a Western Conference Finals appearance, which would be an improvement, I mean, it's hard to see right now them getting there. I would think that they run it back. We have with Mitchell and Gobert and a change probably on the bench, because you see stuff like what happened last night against the Nets, where Rudy Gobert is going up against a young player, Nick Claxton, and he only gets 5 attempts. And yeah, I know Rudy Gobert is, we call everyone a bucket. He is not a bucket. however, he's got to be utilized if he's going to be such a high-paid player. And he does draw people in because he does put pressure on the rim when he gets the ball. Am I blaming it on Quinn? I think when you're looking at the hierarchy of this team, yeah, you've got to say, well, these are our players. Probably the first thing to go is a coach, I would guess.
Well, let's hear from everybody out there with all three of those headlines regarding Ben Simmons. Obviously, here the Utah Jazz and the Quinn Snyder rumors. Would you like to see him coach the Spurs or the Lakers more as we wrap up?
Interesting. I mean, the Lakers are definitely closer to, you know, championship window sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. The Spurs are a bit of a rebuilding project out there, so less pressure in San Antonio, but more glamour in Los Angeles. You know, I'd go to the Lakers.
Okay.
Come on, yeah. Quinn Snyder sitting there on the bench next to Jack Nicholson, a couple of jokers in the same arena. That'd be exciting. Point.
Grant Williams would demand to be traded
to trade
to the Lakers.
It just takes the Lakers-Celtics rivalry to the next level. Right. Two jokers versus one Batman and a bunch of Marvel characters who showed up for some reason.
It writes itself.
What a crossover event. Skeets, I ran the numbers for you.
Yeah.
Went on Stathead.
All right.
You want to name the top 5 players in points without an All-Star appearance?
Okay, is Rudy Gay on the
He's
list?
Number 4.
Okay, good.
He's number 4.
Feel good about
four.
That.
So Jamal Crawford, obviously.
Number 1, yeah. Jamal Crawford.
Oh, it is number 1. Yep. Nice. All right, good call.
CJ McCollum?
No, I would say probably not enough seasons yet.
Now, Jameson made an All-Star.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Okay.
Rod Strickland?
Nope.
Not points.
Right. One guy you might hear his voice still.
Derek Harper?
Yeah.
No.
Didn't get there.
But I believe they were teammates in college. You have to be an old man to know this one and be from Illinois as well. Lee, I bet you've talked to this guy. Maybe if you heard him on Sirius XM radio.
Eddie Johnson.
Oh, Eddie Johnson.
Eddie Johnson, yeah. Number 2. Number three, a recent player, a Jamal Crawford-like kind of player as well. Got a championship later in his career. Got a tattoo of his championship on his arm.
Jason Terry.
And number 5, perhaps the greatest alley-oop thrower in NBA history.
Andre Miller.
There you go.
Points.
That is a lot of points.
Yeah.
What he? How many?
16,278.
Wow.
Had a 52-point game once upon a time, didn't
true.
He? A weird one.
That's true. All right, we're going to take our final break here. When we come back, we have a very, very fun Tweet of the Night and Pick'em results and tonight's Pick'em game.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the... Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, yeah, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/nodunks.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV.
Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Give me some Raptor news. Okay, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
Yeah, this one's for the Raptors fans out there. At Bodog CA tweeted yesterday something that got the Raptors faithful all worked up in a tizzy. Do you agree with this list of all-time Raptors? Asked Bodog CA. And the list here, I'll read it for everybody that's listening to the podcast. You're seeing it here on the stream team on YouTube. Top 10 Raptors. 1, Lowry. 2, Vince. 3, Bosch. 4, DeRozan. 5, Kawhi. 6, Mighty Mouse, Damon Stoudemire. 7, Tracy McGrady. 8, Antonio Davis. 9, Pascal Siakam. And 10, Morris Peterson. Tass, again, there were some Raptors fans who are very, very upset with this list. I would say notably not happy McGrady was on the list. Mm-hmm. I mean, he did play less than 200 games for Toronto. He averaged like, I don't know, 10 or 11 points per game. You know, as a rookie, he played
first
there.
3 years of his career, high schooler. Just because, just the name recognition.
Exactly.
That's why he's
I mean,
on
he's
there.
A Hall of Famer, but it wasn't because of what he did with Toronto.
Where's Hakeem Olajuwon?
Right. And then other people, I would say, pretty upset. Mr. Hams himself, Jose Calderon, is not cracking that. He played over 500 games for the Raptors, in you know, for a while there, led a lot of categories. Maybe a Valanciunas. I know you probably want Jorge on there, Garbajosa. But anyway,
I wouldn't do that.
Well, what would you think of that list? What are they screwing up there, Bodog CA?
Well, I love how they were pressured. They were told this ain't right, and they came out with a revised one.
Well, you want to see the revised one right now?
Sure.
All right, throw it
I
up,
guess,
JD.
And then I'll revise their revised one.
Well, because... there's some hashtag snark here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So oh, they this... said after
I didn't know it was this
upset,
jokey. I didn't know it was this jokey.
Oh yeah. They were like, okay, we'll just put Jose Calderon at the number one spot, 5th and 6th and 8th, and then there's your Hakeem Olajuwon.
There, I didn't know that.
Master P, Tracy sticks on there. Boogie Williams, Elvin Williams. Yeah. So and Scotty Barnes too. So yeah, they were. Look, you know, they were, yeah, they saw the comments and they said, okay, well, here you go. That's sort of funny. But funny. But the actual list.
Well, they were pressured and it was determined that they weren't right. The fans who have watched 25 years of Raptors basketball know what they're talking about. And I will say, right at the top, Kyle Lowry should be number one. I think DeRozan should be number two.
Okay.
I think Vince should be number three.
Okay.
Now, you can jumble those around if you want. But I think those three are the linchpins of it.
Right.
Lowry, DeRozan, Vince Carter. Then I think Bosch is a clear number four for me. 7 years with the Raps, 5 All-Star appearances. You don't screw with that. I mean, that's longevity and All-Star appearances. Then, as you said, Skeets, maybe people mad that there aren't sort of fan favorites like Jose Calderon and all that. But to me, we're getting to a point in Raptors history where you can fill out a top 10 with accomplished all-stars rather than just feel-good stories, like feel-good players, like guys who've been there for a long time, like Morris Peterson, Jose Calderon. So for me, after Bosch at 4, I've got a bunch of guys who've been there for years and are all-stars. I think you could put in Pascal Siakam, 6 years and an all-star appearance. You got to squeeze in Kawhi. He won a championship. Fred VanVleet as well, long-tenured Raptor with an all-star appearance. Antonio Davis as well. He squeezes in for me 4.5 seasons and an all-star. So that's 5 through 8 for me. And then, okay, there's not enough accomplishments at the 9 and 10 spot where you have to exclude sort of fan favorites, because 9 and 10 are fan favorites, really, to me. That's the category. Alvin Williams and or Damon Stoudemire, who did win a Rookie of the Year, and or Jose Calderon, and or Morris Peterson.
Okay.
So to me, the guys who made the all-star appearance and a championship in Kawhi, those are the top 8. And then, you know, some fun at the bottom.
Okay. So it sounds like, I mean, basically there, the top was somewhat right, but you think DeRozan should be higher, especially than like a Bosch, like they had him on the list.
Oh, no question.
Right.
DeRozan, you get extra points for being dealt away rather than not, you know.
Than demanding everything.
Yes. I mean, Vince also sort of demanded, but yeah, different reasons there.
And then you had VanVleet, who over the last 3 seasons is averaging 27-4, and like you said, made an all-star team. And I think he is on the list too. I mean, He's above Morris Peterson. I would have him probably above like an Antonio Davis too. But
yeah, well, that's when they put out top 10, they need to be specific. Like,
just favorite players, like accomplishments, you know, like because yeah,
Raptors, all-time Raptors.
I love Mopete. I've got the Mopete jersey. I've got two Mopete jerseys. Of course, he's going to be like number five on my list, but he's not really there in terms of accomplishments. If you're going straight out fan favorites, I think JYD's on there for sure. You know what?
Okay, we're not going to do what about this Raptor?
I'm still playing what about this guy, because a guy who was loved by Raptors fans while he was in Toronto but kind of forgotten is Amir Johnson. People love Amir Johnson.
Yeah. Yes, he was.
No, that's true.
He was in the zombie walk.
He's not going to make this type of list.
Well, they don't specify what the list is. I mean, they're just throwing names out.
What do you think
there?
All-time Raptors means when they tweet that? And
but what, is that based on opinion, or is it based on fact? Is it based on games played?
Well, it's obviously based on opinion, but the point is, like...
Yeah, okay. I think they were looking for a fight. They had that second one ready to go, and it worked, because we're talking about it. It's tweet of the night. People are... And they know people do love that, like, how can you put someone at number six and not number five? That's so disrespectful, right, right. You know? So, but Kawhi Leonard's got to be up there too. I mean,
Kawhi Leonard played 84 games for the Raptors, if you include the postseason.
Yeah, well, that's the crazy thing.
That's insane.
Didn't he rest his fourth game or something like that? Mm-hmm. Or
he played 60 regular season games and 24 in the run to the title.
But
he has to be on this list.
Absolutely,
of course.
Yeah. Absolutely. He's going to get a statue or some sort of recognition at some point. He has to. He has to.
Okay. I don't know about a statue. 84? No.
A small one.
Okay. See, a little statue of him hits a fadeaway in the
corner.
Would
you rather have one season of Kawhi Leonard, or like, how many did Mopete have?
Or all of the Amir Johnson seasons? Yeah, give me the Kawhi. Yeah. No offense to Amir.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, great
stuff. Fun. Yeah. Obviously a great tweet. Got the engagement. Exactly. Had the second one. Little laugh to go. And there you go. Just do this for every team. And you'll get replies.
I mean, I think you could have had the same, you could have still had a spicy discussion if you kept it at five. There's five quality ones for the Raptors' top five, as we saw. And then you could still have an argument like, could you put Damon Stoudemire ahead of Kawhi Leonard, you know, just for being there a little bit longer. But
right.
Mo Peterson makes the list for me as well, because if it wasn't for Mo Pete, we wouldn't have Mo Vernie.
That's right. It's very important.
That's very, very true. I'd love to hear Mo Vernie's top 10 Raptors.
Oh, yeah,
time.
Exactly.
Yeah. We can make that happen. Okay, let's get to pick 'em results last night. It was the Raptors Bulls, Chicago favored by 4.5 at home. This brought to you by BetMGM. And a lot of us were taking the Bulls, myself included. Noted Raptors fans. I mean, I went against my team, but I did not like this this schedule loss, which I thought was coming into play there last night. And the Bulls getting Patrick Williams back, and they needed that win. And they got it done. They got took care of business. So Tass is the only one that picks up the L. Win for Trey, win for me, win for Lee. We got a three-way tie atop the leaderboard. Us three, 8-7, all right? Trey, Tass, and myself. Lee, 6-9.
Nice.
Yeah, there you go. So, you know, you're two games back, but still a lot of basketball to be played here in the month of March. So this is a big one here. Anybody could lose. This is my favorite part. What's the game tonight, Tass? Only four on.
Only four on, yeah. The rest of the slate, Warriors at the Magic, the Bulls at the Bucks. It's a 7.5-point line for the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah.
Juicy. And the Clippers are visiting the Nuggets. All fairly large lines, those three games. The game we're going with, the closest line, the tightest line. The Hawks are visiting the Knicks. The Knicks are 1.5-point dogs, although that's expanded to 2.5 points. But
because Randall.
Because of Julius Randall's news, yes, he is not playing tonight. A couple of us feeling the Knicks, of course. Three of us, actually. Skeets, Trey, and myself. Did I say Knicks?
Yeah.
Skeets, Trey, and myself, the Hawks in New York, are riding ATL to bounce back after that loss to... almost near loss to Charlotte. What happened? They lost to Charlotte. Yeah, I'm sorry. Lost, yeah. Near loss to the Grizzlies beforehand. Excuse me. I'm all over the place. They're going into New York. Lee, the only one with the Statue of Liberty.
I do not
emoji.
Feel confident about this pick. In fact, in the Slack channel this morning, when Tass gave us the game, I put woof.
Yeah.
As I was like, I don't know. I mean, the Knicks. Like, I don't think they're making the play-in, but if they lose this, they're definitely not making it. So I guess they're playing for that. Are they helped out by no Julius Randle? I mean, we didn't know that at the time we were making the picks in the morning, and then it come out about an hour or two later.
You said, just before the show, you said Julius Randle's out, and I was like, initially, I was like, oh, damn. But then I'm like, we just saw the Sixers last night without two of their stars put in a great performance. So maybe, I don't know, who knows?
Yeah.
Putting your faith in the Knicks to keep you alive in the pick 'em,
I don't also feel all that confident
right,
about my
picks. Right, no, for sure, for sure. But the Hawks are Jekyll and Hyde. Yeah, one night they look great, like against the Grizzlies, and the next night they look bad. So, who knows?
Great comment from Ziggy in the stream team. Yeah. Julius Randle is just worth 1 point. Ouch. In terms of the line, it's a good point. That's a very good point. Bad season for the Knicks.
All right, well, good luck to everybody. That Hawks-Knicks game, only four on tonight. Strange, because there's no college men's basketball on tonight. That's a little weird. But we will be back tomorrow to talk about those four games, any of the NBA news, and maybe some of your questions when we hit the beach. So send them in. NoDunks@TheAthletic.com. You can tweet them in at NoDunksInc, or you can drop them in the YouTube comments section below. Grab yourself an Athletic subscription. Go to TheAthletic.com/NoDunks. $1 a month for up to 6 months. That deal is still hot, so take advantage of that. Go get your No Dunks merch over at NoDunks.com. We got a fun new t-shirt on the way. Hey, I don't want to jinx anything. We might have it up in the next day or two.
Wow.
Yeah, Breaking Tea, man. I mean, perfectly named company. You know? It moved quick. You got an idea? We send it to the guys over there. Boom.
Yeah.
2 hours later, like, here's the shirt. Let's go. Like, all right.
Just thinking maybe we should delay it just to give it a bit more emphasis as to what the shirt is. You know what I'm saying? You're saying it was going to be there in 2 days, but it's not there for 4 days.
Don't make me angry. You don't want to see me when I'm angry.
Classic.
I think this will be a really fun shirt that a lot of you will get a kick out, so we'll keep you posted on that. But if you want any of our shirts that are still available, go to nodunks.com, t-shirts, hoodies, mugs, and stuff like that. And no breaks. Coming up later today, our F1 podcast, TK and Graydon Gordian. No Breaks has its own YouTube feed, so make sure you subscribe to that. And until the podcast feed gets up and humming along, we'll be dropping that one just here in the No Dunks feed. All right. Until tomorrow, or until later today, I should say. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, I hope you have yourself a great night.
Embrace the day, people.